The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parasha is Parashas Eker, very important subject mentioned in the Parasha, which we've discussed before, and the Yetzer Hashem will spend a little time this evening studying about it. As you will see, it has great importance to a person's life. In Devarim Yud, Pasuk Yud Beis, right by Chamishi, Vato Yisrael, Mo Hashem Elokecha She'el Mimach. Moshe was saying this to the people. Mo Hashem Elokecha She'el Mimach. What does the Almighty ask from you? Ki'im, only li'iro as Hashem Elokecha, only to fear Him. That you shall walk in all of His ways, to love Him, and to serve Hashem Elokecha with all of your heart and all of your lives. To guard the mitzvahs of Hashem and all of His statutes, which I have commanded you today, to do good for you. So it states here, what does Hashem ask from you? Only. And then it lists to fear Him, to walk in His ways, to love Him, to serve Him with all of your heart and all of your life, to guard all of His mitzvahs and His statutes. What does it mean, ki'im, only? It seems that the Torah is demanding quite a bit from an individual. So what does it mean, only? The Gemara brings in Masechet Brachos on this posuk that from here we learn out a principle. In Brachos and Daf Lamed Gimel Lamed Beis, Omar Rav Chanina, Hakol Bidei Shemayim Chutz Miyir Shemayim. Everything is in the hands of heaven, with the exception of the fear of heaven. Shneamar Avato Yisrael Ma Hashem Elokecha Shoel Miimach Ki Im Liyiro. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not ask anything else from you except the fear of Him. Rashi explains, HaKol Bidei Shomayim Kol Habo Alo Odom, everything that comes to a person, B'yad HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is in the hands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ki going, for example, Oruch Kotzer, whether a person will be tall or short, on yosher, or if he'll be poor or wealthy, chochem sheite, or if he will be very, very intelligent, or not so intelligent, lov and shocher, whether he will be white or black. Hakol bidei shemayim hu, this is not in the hands of the individual, this is in the hands of heaven. Avol tzadik v'rosho, but whether he will be righteous or evil, eino bo'al yidei shemayim, this is not decreed upon a person. This does not come through heaven. Ezu mosar biyodei shel odom, this is given over to the hands of the person. V'nosan lefonav shnei drochim, and he's given the opportunities to walk in one of two paths. Uhu yivcha lei yirei shemayim, and he was commanded to choose the path of fearing Hashem and to obey in His Torah. So this means, Ma Hashem elokecha she'el imach, what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu ask from you? He doesn't ask from you that you should be strong. He doesn't ask from you that you should be brilliant. He doesn't ask from you that you should be wealthy. The fact is, most of these things are not in your hands. They're given to you. They are gifts. Actually, a person has to guard what's given to him. He could be given wealth and he could squander it. He could be given health and he could also squander it. But b'teilodo, when a person is born, it is decreed what his nature will be in regards to being healthy or not so healthy, being tall, being short. And also it is decreed, and every year before Rosh Hashanah, it is decreed whether he will be wealthy or poor. He has to do the utmost of what he's given, with what he's given. But these are not his areas. The Almighty does not demand from a person that he should build great empires, that he should conquer lands, that he should build great buildings, that he should become wise in the wisdoms of the world. This HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not ask. What does he ask from him, man? Tzadik Roshu. That you should walk in the path of righteousness. You should walk in the path of the Torah. So this is what the Pasuk means. Ma Hashem Elokecha Sheil Imach. What does the Almighty ask from you? Ki im only yiro es Hashem Elokecha. Only to fear him and to do his mitzvahs and to listen to his statutes. Not any other area is asked from you, because that's not in your hands. We ask from a person only what he is capable of doing, which he has choice over. And this is the only area which he has choice over. A little more elaboration on this. This same Gemara is brought in Masechta Megillah. On the Chofei Amud Aleph. And here Rashi tells us, Chutz mi Yiras Shemayim, Osa Mesura Bidei Odom. The area of the fear of heaven that is given over to the hands of man. Shehu Atzmei Mechin Libei Lekach. That he should direct his heart in that direction. Afal Gav Sheachelis Biyodei Lohochin Levaveinu Elod. Even though the Almighty is capable of directing our hearts in that direction. D'ksiv hinei kechemi biyara yetzer. Kein atem biyodi beish Yisrael. The Pasuk in Yirmiyah that states that you are like clay in the potter's hand, and just like the potter can fashion the clay as he likes, so can the Almighty fashion your hearts as you desire. And there's a prophecy that in the time to come, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will remove the hearts of stone. So he's capable of directing our hearts in any direction which he wishes. But still, this is an area he does not touch. This area was given to man, and only man. Therefore, Hakol Bidei Shemayim, everything is in the hands of heaven, except Yiras Shemayim, with the exception of this area. This Gemara is further elaborated in a third Masechta. And this is in Masechta Nidah, and after Zayin Amud Beis. The Gemara brings the Dorish Reb Chanina Bar Popa. Eisim Malach Hamamuna Ala Herion Laila Shemay. There is an angel which is appointed, authorized to be the Mamuna. See? To watch over Herion. Herion is conception. Kodesh Baruch Hu has a special angel, which his department is conception. Tesis brings here, Aval ala leida ein shel malach mamuna. On conception, there is an angel that fulfills the word of Hashem. But on birth, there is no angel. Because the Gemara brings, and later on we will speak a bit about this in regards to a different facet, but the Gemara brings in the beginning of Masechta Tainis, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has an angel for every department, with the exception of three. And one of those three is birth. That's a key that only the Almighty keeps for himself. No one is born without the Almighty himself intervening, causing this birth. He does not even cause this birth through an angel. But conception, this he causes through an angel. So there is an angel which is Mamuna, which is authorized over the area of conception. And his name is Laila. Laila Shemai. Okay. This is his name, Laila. the natal tipa, and when it's time for a conception, so he takes the seed, umamida lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he brings it to the Almighty's throne, the oimel lefonav ribeinu shel olam, and he says, Creator of the entire world, tipa zuma teheolah, what will be with this seed? Gibor Cholosh, will he be someone who by nature is very strong or very weak? Chochmei Tipish, will he be someone who has a very, very high Q? He'll be brilliant. Or he'll be someone with a very low IQ. Oshira Oni, will he be someone who will have great wealth or be very poor? V'ilu Roshoi Tzadik Lekoma. But he does not ask the Almighty to decree whether this person will be great in righteousness or poor in righteousness. Whether he'll be great in mitzvahs or poor in mitzvahs. Whether he will be great in Torah or poor in Torah. This he does not ask from the Almighty, and the Almighty does not decree it. So the Gemara says, this is like Reb Chanina. D'amar Chanina, akol bidei shemayim chutz mi yirei shemayim. This is like the Gemara that we just learned. That everything is in the hands of heaven except the fear of heaven. That area is given over to man exclusively. And the Gemara brings our posuk, because what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu ask from you? He doesn't ask that you should be a great artist. He doesn't ask that you should be a great musician, because to be a great musician you have to be born with a musical talent. To be a great artist you must have an artistic talent. And how can he ask that from a person if it's not within the capability of a person? He doesn't ask that the person should conquer worlds, or that the person should be a mighty businessman or a mighty warrior. But what then does he ask from the person? Only this area, the area of the fear of heaven. Rashi states, "Kol midesev v'kreyesev shel odem boyin leim igzeres melech." All of the qualities of man, these will come to a person through the decree of the king. Chutz mizu, with this one exception. Dovezeh levadoi hu she'el minech. And therefore, this alone does he ask from you. Lefi shakol biyodei vezeh biyotecho. Because everything else is in his hands, and this is in your hand. Now, we are accustomed to thinking that when it comes to areas of being a great Torah scholar, or being a perfect man, or being a righteous man, so many times then we think, no, this is bashert. Say, this is decided by heaven. If a person will be a rov, or if a person will be a tzaddik, we think this is bashert. This is decided by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Or this one was a geboren rov. He was born to be a rov. Or he was born to be the Vilna Gaon. He was born to be the Vilna Gaon. Right? Or this one was such a tzaddik, he was born like that. When it comes, that's mili d'shmaya. That we classify as mili d'shmaya. Something that has to do with a person vis-a-vis heaven. When it comes to mili d'alma, a person that it has to do vis-a-vis the world, this we feel is in our hands. A person becomes a very, very great businessman, he built it. One succeeds and one fails because this one used his head well and the other one didn't. A person becomes a brilliant lawyer. So this is his qualities. A person fails, this is his shortcomings. A person is a great engineer. These are his qualities. This is how the world looks at it. And as we'll see this evening, it is just to the contrary. That the person becomes a great businessman, that basically is dependent on Shemayim, that's dependent on heaven, it's not dependent on him at all. That he becomes a great architect or engineer or lawyer or musician or artist or whatever it might be, or a brilliant scientist, that he cannot claim for himself. That's dependent on qualities of heaven that heaven gave him. A person is born with a brilliant mind. Why shouldn't he become a great scientist? Another person is not born with such a mind. He cannot. Rembrandt was born with this talent. So why shouldn't he be a Rembrandt? It wasn't his. And this is what the Navi tells us very explicitly. The Navi, Yirmiyahu, very beautiful pasuk, tells us, if I'm not mistaken, I think this is in the Haftarah that we say on Tisha B'Av. The Navi in Yirmiyahu Tes states, Pasuk Chof Beis and Chof Gimel, Kayamar Hashem. This is what Hashem has said. Al Yishalel Chochom Bechoch Mosai. When it comes to worldly wisdoms, a person should not praise himself. A person is very intelligent, or he has talent. Should not take pride in it, the Navi says. Don't take pride in it, because it's not yours. You must take pride in something that's yours. You were born with such a talent. So what are you priding yourself in? A person has a right to pride in something that he created. This he didn't create. The strong should not take pride in their strength. It's not theirs. They were born with that ability. The wealthy should not take pride in their wealth. They were given that wealth. We see many people work day and night and they fail when it comes to wealth. And other people work the same amount or less and they succeed. It's not yours. It's a gift. So don't pride. Be thankful for it. Be thankful for the abilities that you were given. And work to perfect them. That's fine. See? Be thankful for the strength you were given and realize it was a gift from the Almighty. Be thankful for your wealth and realize it was a gift and use it for the Almighty. Be thankful, yes, but al yishalel, don't be proud, because that's not yours. You have nothing to be proud of. Kim bezeish yishalel hamishalel. This is what the proud should be take pride in. Haskil v'yedea esi. Those who make themselves wise in my ways, those who know me, those who know my mitzvahs in Torah, this you have a right to take pride in. Ki ani Hashem eiseh chesed mishpat utzdoko ba'oretz. Because I am the God that does chesed, I do kindliness, I do judgment, justice, and I do tzdoko. And ve'ele chafatzti, and this is what I want. If you have mitzvahs, if you have wisdom of Torah, if you have fear of Hashem, if you have chesed, if you do kindliness like Avraham Avinu, if you do tzedakah like Avraham Avinu, if you pursue justice, take pride in it. Because that's yours. That was not given to you. That you must take pride. You give tzedakah, you have a right to be proud. You do chesed to other people. You're kind to other people. You take care of the poor, and you take care of the widows, and you take care of the orphans, and you take care of the ger, the convert, and all of the umlolim, the downtrodden. This take pride in, because this is not a gift. This is yours. You pursue justice. This is yours. Take pride in it. You keep mitzvahs. This is yours. This was not given to you. You understand Torah. This is yours. Bezos, the Navi says, Mishalel, Yishalel HaMishalel, those who want to take pride, this is what you should take pride in. And Kiva'ele Chofatzti, this is what I want from man, the Almighty says. I didn't ask him for the others. Ma Hashem Shel Mimach, what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu ask? This is what he asks. This is what he put you here for in this world. To develop this area. The other areas were given to you only as a medium to come to this area. If he gave you wealth, he was given to you for the purpose of developing Torah, developing yourself in mitzvahs. Or maybe it was given to you as a nisoyin. Maybe it was given to test you, to see what you would do with it. If you made a person poor, he's giving him opportunity. Like Hillel. Hillel was very, very poor. Very poor. And he didn't even have, when the Gemara brings that in the winter time they won't allow anyone in the Beis HaMedrash unless he would pay his share for the wood which would heat the Beis HaMedrash. And Hillel didn't even have enough to pay his share. And he would have to climb up to the roof and listen to the skylight. And one time it became dark in the Beis HaMedrash, and they asked, this was by Shammai v'Avtalion, and they asked, what's happening? And they went up there and they found him almost half frozen. He had collapsed from the cold. So the Gemara says, Hillel mechayves anim. Hillel will be the constant prosecutor for any poor person in the world who will say that I could not learn Torah and I could not fulfill the Torah because I was poor. Because there was no one that was poorer than Hillel, and he became the Nosi Shem Yisrael, he became the head of the Sanhedrin. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives people opportunities. He gives them all types of opportunities, and he gives out the opportunities in accordance to the way he wants to give them. Some people he makes poor, some people he makes rich, some people he makes healthy, some he makes not healthy, so forth. Each one has his own particular opportunities. But what does he ask? He asks only this from him, this area. And therefore the Novi says, don't pride yourself. Be thankful for the other things, but don't pride yourself on it. A person has a right to take pride on something that he has created. These areas he has not created. But Torah and mitzvahs and Yiras Shamayim, there he can be proud, because that's his. So it's just the opposite. The way the world is accustomed to thinking, that when it comes to this area, this is barshert, this is predestined. When it comes to the other area, this is in the hands of man. And this is stated even more explicitly, very, very strongly in the Rambam. The Rambam writes in various places, one in Perakei of Hilchis Tshuva, Reshus lechol odem nesuna. Imrotz lahatis atzme lederek tevel yitzadik arishus biyodo. Imrotz lahatis atzme lederek rol yis rosha arishus biyodo. Permission was granted to every man. If he wants to direct himself in the path of goodness and to become righteous, permission was granted. If he wants to direct himself in the path of evil and to be a rosha, to be an evil person, Arashus biyodoy, permission was granted. Hu shikosav betere heino odem hoya ke'achad mimenu bodas tevara. When after Odom and Chava, the first man and woman, after they committed the transgression by eating from the tree, the Eitz Hadas, the tree of knowledge of good and evil, so it states in the Torah there that the Almighty said, man now is like one of us, where he has the knowledge of good or evil. We must send him out of the garden, lest he will destroy the garden. So the Rambam says, what does this mean? Kleimar, hein min zeh shel odem hoya yochid ba'ilam ve'in min sheni demelei. This ability to distinguish between good and evil and to choose between good and evil, this is an ability which was given only to man. There is no other species in the world, be it in the lower world or the upper world, that has this ability. All of animal life cannot distinguish between good and bad. Angels can distinguish between good and bad, but they have no choice. They cannot choose between good and bad. They do only what is decreed. The ability to distinguish between good and evil and to choose between good and evil, this was the ability given only to man. And that's why it states, "Heino Adam hoya ke echod mimenu v'das tevara." Means there shall Adam hu yochid ba'ilam. This man is alone in the world when it comes to this ability. Vein min sheni daimala, there is no other species. B'zeh inyan. Shehu ba'atzmai b'dayta makshafti yudeya tevara v'esekol mash asher chofetz. That he himself alone can determine what is good and evil, and he can do as he chooses. Whatever he decides, he can do. And nobody will stop him. If he wants to do good, no one will stop him. If he wants to do evil, no one will stop him. Now naturally, if a person wants to do evil, and it's going to affect someone else, let's say he wants to do evil and he wants to kill someone, HaKadosh Baruch Hu might stop him. Not because he wants to stop this person from doing evil, but he wants to protect the other person. But nevertheless, he will still give him the opportunity. He will still give this person the opportunity to do the evil. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu mitzarefei, in many cases, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will judge him accordingly. But from the person doing the evil, or attempting to do the evil, this he will not be, the Almighty will not stop him, the Rambam says. Therefore, they said we have to send Adam and Chava out of the garden. Because here they're in the Garden of Eden, the Gan Eden. And Gan Eden was a place which could not tolerate any evil. And since Adam and Chava were capable now of doing this evil, Pen Yishlach Yodeh, they will come to destroy the garden. So we must send them out. Because if they choose to do, the Almighty will not stop them. Then the Rambam tells us, "Al yavrim machshavtecho dover zeh sheimim tipshiu mesailam v'reiv gol mibnei Yisrael." This is something very interesting. The Rambam writes, he uses the word tipshiu mesailam v'reiv gol mibnei Yisrael. The fools of the nations of the world and the majority of the golmei. Golmei means the word galem. See, a galem means an image that has no mind and that has no soul. That's what a galem is. It's the physical image. So he says, unfortunately, even in Klal Yisrael, there are many people who are walking along around, but they're like lomim, the Rambam says. They have no das. They have no das Torah. And the majority of these people, he says, the fools of the nations of the world and the majority of the people of Bnei Yisrael do not think. They think Shakarish Bohu Gezer Alodim Mitchilas Briyosei Liyei Sadik Orosha. They think that it's determined at a person's birth whether he will be righteous or whether he will be evil. Ein Adover Kein. This is not true. Elakol Odim Roi Liyei Sadik Emesh Rabbeinu Orosha Ki Rovo. Now here the Rambam says, it's quite a statement. He says, every individual has the capability to be as great a person, a great, as righteous a person as Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was not Moshe Rabbeinu because he was born that way. Moshe Rabbeinu was Moshe Rabbeinu because he chose to be that way. There is no doubt that there were special gifts given to him. There's no doubt, but there are special gifts given to every individual. Every individual is given gifts. The fact is, Moshe Rabbeinu even had a handicap. Couldn't speak. He's a Rals for sign. Couldn't talk. She was born with a tremendous handicap. I maybe will say, but certain people are born into such situations where they cannot fail. No, Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't have been born into a worse situation. He was brought up by Goyim. He was brought up by the greatest enemy in Paro's palace, the greatest enemy of the Jews. Moshe Rabbeinu was Moshe because he made himself into Moshe Rabbeinu. Avraham was Avraham because he made himself into Avraham. He took whatever was given to him and he created and he produced. And every individual that Rambam says has within his power to be as righteous as Moshe Rabbeinu. This Rambam says. Or there wasn't a greater evil man as Yerovam ben Nevat. And every individual has in his power also to be as evil as Yerovam. This means, when it comes to someone like Nebuchadnezzar or Titus that destroyed the Beis Hamikdash, it wasn't because they were born for that. They chose. When it comes to someone like Hitler, Yimach Shemai, that destroyed so many of the Jewish nation and destroyed so many kehillas and yeshivas, this wasn't because he was born like that. He chose to be like that. He had natural qualities. Everyone is given natural qualities. But he used them for this purpose. Didn't have to. And when it comes to great righteous people, it's also true that they use it, they take their abilities and they use it in this direction. A person can be wise in the Torah or he can be foolish in the Torah. A person can develop himself where he's compassionate or he's ruthless. Where he can squander money or where he doesn't give any money whatsoever. There's no one that's going to force him. Or there's no one that's going to decree. Or there's no one that's going to draw him to any one of the sides. And this is what Yirmiyahu said, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not come out good or evil. This is man's decision. So this is one principle that the Rambam says. That a person shouldn't think that in this area it's decreed beforehand. This is entirely left to his hands. And no one is going to force him in any direction. And everyone is given this opportunity. Now naturally the opportunities are not equal. You could have someone who's brought up in a very, very religious place of Yerushalayim. And you can have someone that's brought up out in the sticks of Bloemfontein. And the opportunities are not equal. Well, that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's job. How to judge. HaKol Lefi HaMaaseh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu judges in accordance to the deeds of the person, in accordance to his circumstances. Everyone is given different circumstances, different environment, different upbringing, and different qualities. But still, everyone is given this free will. So the first principle that Rambam lays down is that there are no limits to what a person can rise or to what a person can fall to. And this is left in man's hands. Now the Rambam says the second principle. Ulefichoch, v'kivon shekein nimtze ze achaito hu yifsid es atzmai. Lefichoch ro'i le'i levakos elokeinin al chatov. Ba'al ma'ashe osa le'nafshe v'gom l'ro. Therefore, if a person does not grow in this area, he must weep for this. He must mourn for this. Because this was his responsibility. If it wasn't his responsibility, then if a person wasn't a great artist, he doesn't have to feel badly about it. He wasn't given this ability at birth. But this ability was given. Everyone was given the ability to be a tzaddik, to be righteous. Therefore, if he's not, he must weep. He must do tshuva. This is his responsibility. It's because of this we are judged on all of our acts. Any act that has any link to this area. So that's the second principle that the Rambam says. If we fail in this area, then this is our failure. If we fail in another area, it might not be our failure. See, as long as we did what we could, then it's not our failure. A person works honestly, and he works hard, and he doesn't become so successful. Don't feel badly. Kodesh Baruch Hu won't have anything against the person. As long as he tried his best, he put in an honest day's work, and he was honest. When he comes up to the next world, there it states what will be asked from him. It won't be asked from him. How many businesses did he build? Or how many bridges did he draw? It asks Nosator, Be'amuna, did you deal honestly? Did you deal justly? That will be asked from him, but not the other. See? So this he shouldn't feel badly. But if he fails in this area, this is his failure. Then the Rambam tells us a third principle. This is the cornerstone of Torah and mitzvahs. As it states, as HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, that I am placing before you life and death. Choose life. Permission is in your hands. Whatever you want to choose, whether it's good or evil, this is up to you. Now here the Rambam says that this is the cornerstone of all Torah and mitzvahs. Why? Because this is what is known as bechira. Free choice. Again, a person should not think, no, it's bashert. I was bashert that I shouldn't be a tzaddik. I was bashert that I shouldn't be a Talmud Chochm. See? It was decreed. Not so. This is free choice. And this is the cornerstone of all Torah and mitzvahs. Why? Because if the Almighty would decree on the person that he should be evil or righteous, or if he would draw the person in either path, like he says the tipshim think, like the fools think, that he's drawn along the path that he's walking, so how then could the Almighty command the person through his prophets who constantly chastise the people and tell them that this is what you should do and this is what you shouldn't do? It was already predetermined. The whole Nevi'im, all of the prophets, were constantly, they were chastising the nation. Perfect yourself. Do this, do justice. And chastising them for what they were doing wrong. Why? It's not in their hands. Well, they were doing what they were born to do. They were doing what heaven was influencing them what to do. And ma mokom hoye lechol atere kula ubeize din veize mishpot nifra min arosh. Here the Rambam says a very profound statement. The Torah is full of promises that the rosho, that the evil, they will be judged properly, and the Almighty will take revenge from the evil. What kind of mishpot is that? What kind of justice is that? How could the Almighty take revenge from the evil if they were influenced to do this? It says HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take revenge, he will not forget what the evil will do. What did they do? What did Hitler do? Hitler did what he was born to do. What did Haman do? Haman did what he was born to do. They influenced him. The Rambam says this is mishpat, this is justice. HaShefit kol ha'oretz layaseh mishpat. The judge of the entire world will not do pure justice. And on the other hand, he says, how is it possible to give reward to a man for doing something which is not his act? So he says, from here you see very clearly, the cornerstone of doing mitzvahs, this is the free will that was given to a person. And the whole foundation of schar ve'enish, of reward and punishment, is based on this cornerstone. If a person was not the sole master over this area, then there would be no place in the world for reward and punishment. If a person had to do this, then you cannot punish him for doing it. If he was influenced by the Almighty to do it, then you have no right to punish him. If he had to do good, then there's no place for reward. That's why our entire Torah is based on one factor. Bechira's order, man was given free choice. And because of that, there's good and evil, and there's reward and punishment. And this is only because this was man's area. Then the Rambam asks the question. From this comes out that HaKadosh Baruch Hu then is not the ruler of the world. He's not the sole ruler of the world. Because Man can do things that he does not will man to do. And it states in many places that Hashem does kol asher chofetz Hashem osa b'shamayim v'oretz. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does whatever he wants to do. So how do you reconcile this? So the Rambam says this is no question. It states HaKadosh Baruch Hu does whatever he wants to do. He does in the world whatever he wants to do. And he rules the entire world. But this is what he wanted. He wanted this area to be left to man's discretion. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu kol asher chofetz Hashem osa b'shamayim v'oretz. The Almighty does whatever he pleases. But what did he please? What did he will? He wanted to create a man that would perfect himself. He didn't want to create a robot. That he has malochim, he has angels. He didn't want to create a galem, someone that merely listens automatically, mechanically to his command. He wanted to create a man that will perfect himself. A man who has the ability not to listen and will choose to listen. A man who has the ability to do what is not just, and because of his mind and his soul, he will choose to do what is just. So this is Kechol Asher Osa Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does what he pleases in the heaven and earth. This was his will. Lefichoch, therefore the Rambam says, Doni Naisei Lefi Maisov. Every man is judged in accordance to his own will. If he does something good, then he receives reward. If he does something bad, then he receives punishment. And this is what Shlema HaMelech said, King Solomon said, Shmach bochur b'yaldusecho, v'da ki al kol eile yivi'echo l'kim b'mishpot. The young man should rejoice in his youth, because he has opportunity ahead of him. And he should realize that everything that he does, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring to Mishpot. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring judgment to. So we see very important principles here from the Rambam. Many times we hear the question, and many times it's spoken about, Hashkocha Protis. Hashkocha Protis means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu manipulates our lives. He intervenes in our lives. What does that mean? Here we see he doesn't intervene. Hashkocha Protis means that it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu who gives the opportunities. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu who gives the natural qualities to a person. If a person is born strong, this is the Hashkocha Protis. This is the HaKadosh Baruch Hu's intervention. If he's born sickly, this is also the Almighty's intervention. He wanted the person to be born sickly for particular reasons. If a person all of a sudden finds himself in circumstances which are completely unavoidable, then this is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's act. He gives the persons the abilities and the settings and the opportunities. But if a person thinks that the decisions that the individual makes, that's also Hashkocha Protis, that's also intervention from heaven, then is what the Rambam says, Mirev Golmei B'nei Yisrael. Then he's from the ignorant of Israel that they do not understand the basic cornerstone of what Torah is. Because if HaKadosh Baruch Hu intervened in a person to let him decide whether he will do good or evil, so then it's not his act. So how can he give reward for it? And how could he give punishment? This means that when it comes to circumstances which are entirely beyond our control, we have, for example, the Gemara says, a person should say, Kol ma de'ovid rachmona letav ovid. Whatever heaven does is for good. Or Gamzu Lateva. There was a man in the Gemara. They used to call him Gamzu. Nochem Gamzu. Because everything that would happen, he would say, Gamzu Lateva, this is also for the good. Now this seems to be somewhat contradictory to what we're saying. How can you say everything that heaven does is for the good when we're saying that this is not in the realm of heaven, this is in your realm? If a person does a sin, the Rambam says a person has to weep over it and do tshuva from it because it's his act. So how can we say that whatever is done is good? Or gamzu l'tayu. So again, it depends in which area. If it comes to any of the other areas, if a person all of a sudden inherits R1 million, he must say gamzu l'tayu. This must be for the good. If a person, cholilo, if he loses money, and there was nothing that he could do about it, he must also say, called Ma'ad Ovid, Rachman and Letav Ovid. What HaKadosh Baruch Hu does is for my good, ultimately for my good. I might not understand it now, but this is the truth. HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised Abraham the entire land of Eretz Yisrael as far as he could see. Yet when he came now to look for a little piece of land to bury his wife Sarah, there wasn't any. He had to go and negotiate and buy with top price a piece of land. And Avram said, call Mother Ovid Rachman on the top of it. If this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, this is his area. It's not my area. If a person is negligent, not dressed properly, or he does not eat well, or does not rest well, or does not do proper exercise, and he gets sick, then he cannot say, call Mother Ovid Rachman on the top of it. What the Almighty did is for the good, because the Almighty didn't do that. He did it to himself. A person even has the power to destroy himself completely, heaven forbid. He could throw himself off a roof. He could throw himself into the sea. What's he going to say? Kol ma dovid rachmona, whatever the Almighty did is good. That's his doing. But when a person tries his hardest in these areas, then whatever circumstances he finds himself in, let's say all of a sudden he finds, let's say he's born in the Karoo. Now what could he do about being born in the Karoo? He was born there. So he could all the time, he could be negative all the time and take a negative look at it. Or he could say, Kol Madit Ovid Rachmona L'Tav Ovid, this is not my doing. This is the Almighty's doing. If it's the Almighty's doing, he has a good reason for it. And this happened to Avraham. Avraham was born in the Karoo. He was born in Ur Kasdim. He was born in the depths of Babylonia, where he was detached from any center of Torah whatsoever. Even the few that knew Torah, like Nayach and the others and his children, he was completely out of touch with. And he knew nothing except idolatry. And he took that negative aspect and it made Avraham. Because had he been born in a place like Yerushalayim, he wouldn't have been Avraham Avinu. Because in Yerushalayim, he would have been taught. If he would have been taught, he wouldn't have had to search. And this way, Avraham searched every aspect of the universe till he was satisfied that he found the truth. This became Avraham Avinu. And we see countless times that a person who can develop himself coming from a background like the Karoo exceeds far greater people coming from the most religious communities of the world. And when I was in the yeshiva, and it tells the yeshiva, without exception, the best Talmidim were always those who did not come from the great Torah communities, the great Torah centers, but came from the way out areas, because they were motivated 1,000 times more. So if a person finds himself in a situation which he can do nothing about, then that's the doing of heaven. If it's the doing of heaven, called Ma Deyomid Rachman on the top of it. What heaven does is good. He must look at it not negatively, he must look at it positively and take the positive step. If he finds all of a sudden that he ends up in a certain city, or he ends up in a certain job, or he ends up in a certain position, or he has certain tzoros. He's got certain tzoros or certain neighbors that are always bothering him, or whatever it might be. If he can do something about it, then he must do. This is our obligation. But if he can't, then this is what, heaven forbid, a sickness comes on a person. from sickness can come great, great growth. Yitzchok asked for Yisurin. Yitzchok asked for affliction. And he grew from it. But if it's his area, an area that he can do something about, or an area that he's responsible for, then that's not Hashgacha Pratis. That's not left to the Almighty, that's him. And he bears the responsibility for that. If a person makes a decision to go into a certain undertaking, and let's say that it didn't work out, cannot say Kol Mado Rachmona, Letabor, whatever heaven did is good. Because it wasn't heaven's decision, it was your decision. And maybe the decision was not made completely in the eyes of the Torah. Maybe the decision was not made l'shem shomai. Maybe greed was involved in the decision. Many, many decisions are made only because of personal greed. Maybe it was a decision that was influenced by a seeking of glory. Maybe because of jealousy the decision was made. Maybe because of pressure of what other people will say the decision was made. So now no longer a person can say whatever the Almighty does is for the good. The Almighty didn't do it. Then it's his act. If he did everything that was in his power to do, then that's all that is demanded from him. But if he didn't, and this he has to examine himself very carefully, very carefully. People are constantly, every day, confronted with decisions. And the greater the person, the greater the decisions that are forced on him to make. Moshe Rabbeinu had to make constantly great decisions. Same thing with Avraham Avinu and every individual. And these decisions take strength, gvura, to rise above all of the emotional aspects of akin, of ataiv, of akovet, of jealousy and greed, of personal desires, or of honor, personal honor, or of public pressure. In order to make a pure, just decision, this is his area, and this he's responsible for. And on here there is no Hashgacha Pratis, the Rambam tells us. This is not a Kodesh Baruch Hu does not intervene. This is his opportunity. Kodesh Baruch Hu is giving him opportunity. Imagine what kind of decision Abraham had to make when he was told to go sacrifice his son. There were 1,000 reasons, 1,000 good reasons, just reasons why Avraham should not have sacrificed Yitzchak. Good reasons. And this is the decision he was confronted with. This was his opportunity. And the Gemara tells us that this was the greatest opportunity that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to Avraham. So this is the explanation. Even in Torah, the Rambam writes in Hilchos Talmud Torah, in Perek Gimel, Halacha Aleph, the Rambam writes that Israel was given 3 crowns. The crown of Torah, the crown of Kohuna of priesthood, and the crown of Malchus, of kingship. The crown of priesthood, there is no Bechira, there is no choice. A person is either born a Kohen or he's not born a Kohen. Finished. The crown of Malchus, of kingship, also there's no choice. A person is born into the family of David Amela, then he potentially can become a ruler. Is not born into that family, cannot. Because the crown of kingship was given only to David and his family. So also there's not much Bechira there. The crown of Torah, which is the greatest crown, Munach Ve'Binu Muchan L'Chol Yisrael. This is given to all of Israel. And then the Rambam writes, called Mi She'Yitze Yovav Yitol. Now the crown of Torah, he's speaking here, that the person can be, can merit, can gain, can acquire the greatest wisdoms of Torah. This is what the Rambam is speaking about in this perek. How a person can be gain the greatest wisdoms of Torah. And this, he says, called Mishi Yirtse Yovav Yitul. This is dependent only on one factor. Do you want it or not? Now, I would say that if you want to become a very, very great Talmud Chochem, you have to have a lot of ability. You have to have ability, you have to have intelligence, good mind. You have to have the ability to study. You have to have clarity, and so on. The Rambam doesn't say that. He said it was given to all of Israel. If the person is Baruch Hashem born within the realm of a normal birth and a normal child, then the crown of Torah was given to him. Called me Shenema Torah Tziva Lonu Meisha. Meisha commanded it to us all. Called me She Yitze Yovav Yitl. I would say that if someone wants to become a very, very great Talmud Chacham, he must have wealth. Because to study takes a lot of time. If you're going to have to spend your time working, so how will you have time to study Torah? So I would say one of the prerequisites of Torah is wealth. Rambam doesn't say that. Doesn't say you have to be wealthy. Doesn't say you have to be brilliant. Doesn't say that you have to be someone who's naturally has natural tendencies towards study. He says, given to all of Israel. There's only one prerequisite. Kol mi sheyirtze, if you want it, and you're willing to go after it, then you'll get it. Otherwise not. Now here again we see, because this area was given to man. And if it was given to man, then it's up to him. When we were in the yeshiva, there were always discussions that if we would have wealth, we would become the greatest Talmidei Chachamim. Only if we had wealth, you could sit and learn for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, become the greatest Talmidei Chachamim. It's a funny thing. In retrospect, there were many wealthy students in the yeshiva that came from wealthy families. They did not necessarily become the Talmidei Chachamim. And there were many very, very poor students that came from very poor families, and even married into very poor families. There were those who married into wealthy families. And when they married into wealthy families, they said, now they're going to learn for years and years and become great Torah scholars. They ended up becoming great businessmen. They went into their father-in-law's businesses. And those that came from very, very poor families, not a rule, I'm not saying a rule, doesn't mean, but those that came from very poor families, or married into poor families, became great Torah scholars. And in retrospect, you see it had very little to do with the wealth. There were also wealthy ones that became Torah scholars and poor ones not. But you see it wasn't the principle. The fact is, really, the Gemara says just the opposite. The Gemara says, Yizaru b'bnei aniyim, take special heed to the children of the poor. Shenehem teitzei Torah, because Torah will come from them. Now, how can Torah come from the poor? Where are they going to get funds to learn by? Because this is an area that was given over to man. This is man's decision. If man wants Torah, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will worry about the funds. He'll provide, one way or the other. If a person has funds, but he does not necessarily want Torah, then he'll never have Torah. Here we see the same principle again. The Gemara in Masechet Kiddushin and in Masechet Tainus tells us just the opposite when it comes to worldly endeavors. In Masechet Tainus, the Gemara says, and Daf Beis Omer Aleph. Omer Rabbi Yechanan Gimel Maaf Techeis Biyodei Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shelei Nimser Biyad Shliach. There are three keys which the Almighty does not give over to the hand of any other emissary, not even to an angel. Ve'elohein, and these are they. Mafteach Shel Chaya, the key of birth, that's only his intervention. Mafteach Shel Gishomi, the key of the rains, to decide whether it shall rain or not, that he does not entrust with an angel. Mafteach Shel Tchias Hameshim, and the key which will bring the dead to relive again, that he will only do. And the Gemara brings a posuk, a source in the Torah of each one. Yiftach Hashem lecho asei tzereyatei, v'sashomayim lecho asei matar atzecho b'itei. Kodesh Baruch Hu should open up his storehouses of good. Vayishkor elekim es rochel, vayishma eleho elekim, vayiftach es rachma. It states that Kodesh Baruch Hu himself heard Rochel's prayers, and he opened her womb, not an angel. And by Tchias HaMesim it states, V'yadatim ki ani Hashem bepischi es kivrei seichem, that I will come and open your graves to give you life again. B'marov en Eretz Yisrael, they learned, this was in Bovel, B'marov en Eretz Yisrael, they learned, af mafteach shel panosa, the key to panosa, the key to a person's sustenance, that's also given only, held only by the Almighty. Because it states, Peseach es yodecho, open up your hand, and give us our sustenance. So the Gemara asked Rabbi Yechanan, "My time lekochoshim loho." Why didn't Rabbi Yechanan mention sustenance also? So the Gemara says, "Gishomim haynu panoso," because rains and panoso, Rabbi Yechanan said, is considered one thing. At any rate, so we see when it comes to worldly endeavors, these are dependent on what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to give to the person. It's not dependent on his acts. And then we have the Gemara and Kedushin. Gemara and Kedushin, and near the end of the Masechta, tells us in the last Mishnah on Pei Beis, Remei Aimer, the Mishnah is telling us that a person is obligated to teach his son an umnes. It's the obligation of a father to teach his son a profession. Must teach him a way to make a living. So Remeya says, La'ilam yelamid onam es b'nei umnes nikiyah v'kalo. A person should always teach his son a umnes nikiyah v'kalo, a livelihood, a profession, which is a clean profession and an honest profession, one that he can be very honest in and very clean. Shouldn't teach him something which is a very difficult way of making a living. Or you shouldn't give him a profession where, you know, the Gemara says, and we all aware, there's certain professions that you have to be very shrewd and very shady in order to make a living at it. This you shouldn't teach your son. You should teach your son a malocha, kala v'nikia, a malocha that's an easy malocha, an upright one. So the mayor says, why? Why? If you how do you determine a good profession? You look at the market. If you see that doctors are getting paid well, it's a good profession. Architects are getting paid well, it's a good profession. If you see doctors are not getting paid well, it's not a good profession. Architects not getting paid well, it's not a good profession. So what do you mean? You take a profession that a person can, that's a clean profession, and an honest profession, a person doesn't have to bend too many laws, but the whole purpose of the profession is to make a living from it. So the mayor says something very profound. He says, "V'yispalo l'misha eishev anachosim shaloi." He should pray to who owns all of the wealth of the world. She'ein umne she'ein bo anias va'ashiris. There is no profession in the world that does not have both wealth and poverty. You'll find even if doctors are doing well, there are doctors who are not doing so well. You'll find architects are doing well, there are some architects who are not doing so well. There is no profession in the world that does not have both wealth and poverty in it. The wealth does not come from the profession, and the poverty does not come from the profession. It's all in accordance to his merit and the way the Almighty wants to give him panosa. The malocha, the livelihood, is only the channel through which the Almighty gives him his sustenance. But it is not the livelihood that creates his sustenance. It is HaKadosh Baruch Hu that creates his sustenance. It is not his act, but the Almighty's act. And the Almighty will reward him in accordance to his chuyos, the way he judges it. He might see he's such a tzaddik, he'll give a lot of money. He might see he's such a tzaddik, but Dafki won't give him money. He'll say, let him learn Torah like Hillel. And then in the next world I can reward him 1,000 times more. Or like Avraham Avinu. That he gave Avraham Avinu so much soros that from there he became Avraham Avinu. So this is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's business. If the livelihood created the parnosa, then we must choose a livelihood which seems to be guaranteed, where it can create a good parnosa. No other cheshbenos, no other calculations. But since Remeir says, since the livelihood does not create the wealth, it's merely the channel which HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives the wealth through, so then you might as well teach your son a livelihood, firstly, that's an easy livelihood, and secondly, one that he can be a very honest person in. Otherwise, by your misdirection, you're liable to cause him, put him in a situation where he might lose his Eilam HaBo's world to come. So we see very great principles in this parasha. And that's what it states in the Torah, which we read. Ma Hashem. Ba'ato Yisrael, Ma Hashem alakech ha-she'el mi'imoch. What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu ask from you? Ki'im, only this area. And then the next pasuk says, Hein la'Hashem alakech ha-shamayim u'shmei ha-shamayim v'ores v'chol asher bo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu owns all of the heavens and he owns all of the earth. What more does he need? He doesn't need your money. He doesn't need your buildings. He doesn't need your achievements in the world. He needs your righteousness. If a person wants to be a doctor, to cure people, this is a righteousness. This he needs. If you want to build for his sake, this he needs. But for you to achieve merely worldly possessions, worldly successes, this he doesn't need. He has the entire world. These are very, very important principles. The Rambam calls them the cornerstone of Torah and Mitzvahs. We'll just conclude with a famous story of the Dubna Magid. The Magid of this town of Dubna gave an example where he said he once traveled into a city, and when he got to his hotel, he had left a little suitcase in the train station, which was not offloaded yet. So he told the porter at the hotel, would you go fetch my suitcase for me? 10 minutes went by, 20 minutes went by, an hour went by, 2 hours went by, he's wondering what's happening. All of a sudden the porter comes. He hears all kind of noise. And he's dragging a gigantic trunk. And he's dragging it and schlepping it up the stairs to his room, and he's all exhausted, and he says, here, I brought your luggage, pay me for it. And he intimated, for such a piece of luggage you must give me a good tip. So the Magid said, I should pay you for it, it's not my luggage, and I should pay you yet. Where's my luggage? I've been waiting 2 hours for it. And not only that, but my luggage was a little suitcase. He said, unfortunately, this will be the situation when many people come up to the holy tribunal in the next world. Kodesh Baruch Hu will ask them, what did you achieve on this world? So they'll bring all their achievements and they'll want to be paid for it. Kodesh Baruch Hu said, this is not mine. This is not the achievements I sent you here for. Not only you didn't achieve what I sent you for, but now you want to be paid for something that is not even mine, that I didn't send you for. And what I sent you for was for a little suitcase. Ki'im, only this. Meanwhile, you brought me back all kind of other achievements. And you want to be paid. How can I pay you for it? This is how he used to give an example to illustrate this. There's another area that we don't have time to go into. But that is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does help people. States that Abol Etayre Messiah Nesoy. If a person chooses to do good, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help him. But the decision must be ours. The act must be ours. Then the Almighty helps. We should be zeichet to learn from this parsha, this very important principle, because this is what an entire Jew's life is based on.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information, or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.